Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. Now every day I say go there, click on the donate button, and send shekels. You know why? Because I'm not asking you to send me shekels, all right? I'm asking you to send them shekels. They are kind enough to provide myself and other hosts with airspace, with valuable, the valuable and very sophisticated RBN audience, and they ask for nothing in return, and I ask for nothing in return for my listeners other than to go to RBN and click on the donate button and send shekels. I also point out that if you can go to nationalbugle.com, you can download the Co-Certified app, and $2.99 per download, and there is a free version available, an online version available, but at $2.99 per download, just imagine if we had 1,000 listeners download that app, we'd have almost $3,000. Can you imagine that, what we could do with all that money? We'd be rolling in it. So please go and click on the app and download it. And also, while you're there, you see all the great stories that Mark Dankoff puts up. And I've got Mark Dankoff right here to talk about those stories. Mark, welcome to the show.
Be on as always, and I've been battling cedar fever here in San Antonio for a few days, so that's nothing new for a lot of people in South Texas, so I hope my voice sounds less scratchy than it did a day or two ago. And many of these stories are not yet up on our big board, but will be by the end of the day, so let's get going with this. The first is tonight's Democratic debate. Elizabeth Warren, folks, is trying to sink Bernie Sanders by discussing the 8 words that she says that Sanders said. Warren says, quote, "I thought a woman could win. He disagreed," unquote. So CNN is now running with this and saying that these 8 words spell big trouble for Bernie Sanders tonight in the Democratic debate. The first question I have is this. Who is going to believe Elizabeth Warren that Sanders actually said this? Probably a better translation, if he said anything at all, is that Elizabeth Warren thought she could win, and Sanders disagreed with that.
Yeah.
That's probably the real story here. But the real context, I think, comes to us from yesterday.
Yeah, and I just want to say that tonight, Jeremy and I are planning on watching the debates and talking about them if there's anything interesting in them. Otherwise, we'll talk about other stuff.
Yes. Well, the real context, it would seem, of this story that has emerged in CNN today is the big headline, is yesterday's story by Patrick J. Buchanan for Creators.com and other outlets. It's entitled Trump's In-Kind Contribution to Bernie, as in Bernie Sanders. Pat Buchanan is now saying that there is enough evidence that's out there that Trump's recent activities vis-a-vis Iran have created such a climate that Sanders could actually beat Trump, says Pat Buchanan, Bernie's socialism notwithstanding. So the fact of the matter is, it would seem to us, certainly here at National Bugle Radio and RBN, certainly seems to me that the two candidates who could beat Trump, Sanders may be one. The other one is a woman, but her name is Warren. Her name is Tulsi Gabbard.
Right.
So that, I think, is the real story here as we approach tonight's debate.
I had thought that Tulsi Gabbard was really the only person who could beat Trump, and Tulsi Gabbard was almost certain to be excluded from the nomination because of, you know, various machinations. I'm starting to think, well, actually, maybe Bernie could beat Trump. So you never know.
So this is where we sit, folks, as we watch the usual suspects in the Democratic elite, which is another code word or series of code words for the Democratic Zionist War Party elite, is once again trying to ensure that someone as controllable as Hillary Clinton becomes their nominee against Donald Trump. If that becomes the case, then it will simply be a question of which of the two will take America into the next phase of these wars in the Middle East that each candidate keeps insisting that he or she will keep America out of. Mike Pompeo, we are told by Sputnik, is now changing his tune on the Soleimani assassination. He's saying, well, there was really no imminent threat. We were attempting to deter. We have a deterrence strategy, says Pompeo. The real story again yesterday was when Defense Secretary Esper indicated that he had no intelligence reports personally that indicated that any of these American embassies of the four mentioned by Donald Trump were under any imminent threat from Soleimani or Iran or anyone else. So you have the Defense Secretary of the United States contradicting the President of the United States. Pompeo is now running for cover and trying to change his story on why the United States engaged in this extrajudicial assassination. David Stockman tells us at UNS that Donald's assassination of Soleimani is, quote-unquote, as stupid as it gets. One might add from Philip Giraldi that it's about as illegal as it gets. Ramsey Brew tells us at the UNS Review that Israel's fingerprints are all over the Soleimani assassination. Phil Giraldi tells us today at UNS that Trump and Congress are both doubling down on demonizing Iran. Max Blumenthal seals a lot of it at the gray zone when he says that the Iraqi prime minister reveals that Soleimani was on a peace mission when he was assassinated, exploding the Trump lie of a quote-unquote imminent attack on Americans and on American facilities. According to the Iraqi prime minister, he, the Iraqi prime minister, was attempting to broker some kind of a ceasefire or peace deal between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Soleimani responded to the invitation. Soleimani gets assassinated. So that apparently, according to Max Blumenthal, is the real story at the gray zone on this. The long and the short of it is that we are looking at an absolute mess now in regard to legalities and illegalities, in regard to an obvious escalation of the American situation with Iran. And who's the real winner? Israel is the winner. Everyone else is the loser. And of course, when we look at the Zionist lobby in Israel, they seem to have the inside track with Donald Trump's war policies and domestic policies and foreign policy. The question turning to tonight's Democratic debate is whether or not grassroots Democrats are going to fall for the same thing and allow Pocahontas to be nominated or Biden to be nominated or Pete the Cupcake to be nominated when in fact it is
Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman. That's exactly
Alfred E.
right.
Alfred E. Buttigieg.
Whereas the real candidates in this thing, Sanders and Gabbard, of course, we would go with Gabbard at National Bugle Radio, certainly. But the point is, folks, these are the two candidates, Sanders and Gabbard, that afford any sincere opportunity on the part of a Democrat to get these wars and these machinations stopped. For a lot of people have begun to recognize with the assassination of Soleimani that the United States is headed into what George Herbert Walker Bush would have termed it, deep doo-doo. Haaretz has an interesting story. Of all places, Haaretz, Shuki Saneh has one entitled Inside the Shadowy World of Israeli Arms Dealers that comes to us unbelievably from Haaretz. The New York Times asks us who signs up to fight. This is a fascinating analysis of who is actually enlisting in the American military these days and why. This kind of dovetails with what Ray McGovern was telling us a few years ago in regard to the demographics of who's signing up for the military, where these people are coming from, and what the economic incentives are to join. In the midst of an effort where there has been a fall off in American public support for these Zionist wars since 2001. So the New York Times actually contributes something good today in a piece entitled Who Signs Up to Fight? The UK Independent reminds us that Donald Trump is doubling down on the threat to take oil from Syria, despite the attempts of Fox News to get the president to shut up when he began talking about this. The fact of the matter, once again, is that we are learning here that not only has the United States been involved in Syria, working with Sunni Wahhabic extremists against Iran at the behest of both Israel and Saudi Arabia, but that Donald has been talking, of course, in more recent times about America taking Syrian oil, which is, of course, illegal, immoral, and a few other things. But even Fox News attempting to get the president away from that particular topic could not get the president away from saying just enough on the air to underscore the charges that have been made against him by the Syrian government and by the supporters of al-Assad. Tom Sunich, our old friend, writes that 75 years ago today, he put this on Twitter, Dr. Sunich did, 75 years ago today, we had the largest ethnic cleansing in Europe. That began 75 years ago. It began with the expulsion of 15 million Germans from both Eastern and Central Europe. 2.5 million German civilians died in that situation. Tom Sunich reminds us that that's the absolute truth about what's happening, what was happening in the so-called immediate post-war period. And this is a frightening situation that is, of course, underscored by the late author of the book, Other Losses. And then, of course, Russia Insider reminds us, courtesy of Mike Walsh, that the Jewish CEO of PayPal, one Daniel Shulman, bans True News, Rick Wiles and True News, after they demand, and Rick demands, justice for Epstein's underage victims. So there we have a situation where Daniel Shulman, the Jewish CEO of PayPal, decides that True News should be banned from PayPal because True News was making some very specific charges about justice for Jeffrey Epstein's underage victims. And, of course, Rick Wiles was also doing an outstanding job, as a number of us have been doing, in underscoring what Philip Giraldi and Whitney Webb at Mint Press News have been telling us, and that is that Epstein was a Mossad guy. His pedophile ring was a Mossad operation all the way, designed to compromise American politicians. But apparently the Jewish CEO of PayPal decides to ban both True News and Rick Wiles. So, that's a very old story for those of us here at alt-right media who have been watching this sort
of
thing.
And I noticed on, I'm sure it was you who sent me an article about this, and or maybe I saw it on the Daily Stormer, but it was on True News's own press release. They said that Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad agent and Ghislaine Maxwell was his handler. And they used that name. They used that term. Ghislaine Maxwell was his handler. And it may be coincidence because great minds do think alike. But on David Duke's website, for the past month or so, we've been at the bottom of every show description just saying, quote, Jeffrey Maxwell was a Mossad agent, and Ghislaine, well, let me read it to you.
Sure.
Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad agent, and Ghislaine Maxwell was his handler. So that's been, okay, Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad agent, Ghislaine Maxwell was his Mossad handler, and everyone in Washington is complicit in the usurpation of our government by Jewish power. That's what we've had on there for probably 3 or 4 weeks at the bottom of every show description. So, maybe great minds think alike. I'm very happy that they are using the term Jew coup. I've been using the term Jew d'etat, so maybe they came at it independently, and maybe Jew coup has a better ring to it. I don't know. But it's good. It's a positive development. But at the same time, I want people to understand. I want people to become aware. I don't want people to get angry and hateful and start like doing violent things, because that's not what we need, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, there's no excuse for violence and lawlessness. The fact of the matter is, folks, that as late as the hour is in the United States, any degree of fidelity to the Constitution, any degree of fidelity to being aware of what's going on, any degree of fidelity to being involved in mass peaceful protests that begin to draw this to the attention of not only the American public, but of the world community, which tends to be far more informed, sadly, than the American public, there is still plenty of opportunity to do that. So in this particular situation, as we contextualize this story again from Mike Walsh at our Russia Insider on the whole question of the Jewish CEO of PayPal banning Rick Wiles and banning True News for yet another expose on the real truth about the Epstein situation and the Epstein pedophile network, we get into the macrocosmic view of this as well. This is all about the financing and buying of elections. And when we go back to our original story at the top of this hour, about tonight's Democratic Party debate, where Elizabeth Warren, on the mere allegation that Bernie Sanders uttered these eight words that we read from CNN at the beginning of the show, is suddenly making a big deal out of trying to use these eight words, where there is no verification that Sanders said this, And if Sanders said this, you and I might say, so what? People say all kinds of things, offhanded things that they don't necessarily mean. I said at the beginning of the show that I think the truth is going to be that Sanders said that Warren couldn't win. Warren happens to be a woman, not a very nice woman, not a very honorable woman, but nonetheless a woman. And Sanders, I think, probably said that she couldn't win, which is true, if that's the way the real spin is on this story. But the fact of the matter is that when you look at Jewish money in the Democratic Party, who are the three top recipients of Jewish money in the Democratic Party? Buttigieg, Warren, and Biden. Mm-hmm. And these three are all playing off of Warren's, I believe, false allegation against Bernie Sanders to try and put themselves forward as the establishment candidate that will do whatever the real power brokers in the United States want them to do as a Democratic Party presidential nominee. That's the real story here. And if we're going to be assailed by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, we're going to be assailed by the American Jewish Congress and everyone else for pointing this out, so be it. Because we can demonstrate factually, folks, that that's the money trail in this particular situation. And once again, these things are not coincidences, whether we're talking about the banning of Rick Wiles and his True News from PayPal, or we're talking about the way that this whole thing is playing out with this Democratic Party debate tonight on the heels of Patrick J. Buchanan saying that basically Trump had made an in-kind contribution to Bernie Sanders' campaign with all the things Trump has been doing with the Soleimani assassination and everything else since the 3rd of January. Here you have the premier spokesman of the real right, the old right in America, Patrick J. Buchanan, pointing out that, by George, despite the fact that he's a socialist, Sanders might well beat Trump on this war and peace issue alone, says Patrick J. Buchanan. And less than 24 hours later, we have this diversionary situation with Elizabeth Warren. CNN is playing along with this ridiculous stuff, even though Warren is a proven public liar on a number of issues where she's been caught. We are being asked to believe her story about what Bernie Sanders said to her in a private conversation. And we're supposed to believe that Sanders' eight words that he either did or didn't say are going to be a make or break for Bernie's campaign. Quote, "I thought a woman could win," this is Warren. "He," Sanders, "disagreed," unquote. Folks, I don't think Bernie said that, but even if he did say that, how is that to be compared with this, with the overarching issues of this day involving whether or not the United States continues with the Zionist wars in the Middle East and risks World War III? World War III at the same time that the Zionist police state and the Zionist censorship state continues at home, courtesy of all kinds of people, including apparently PayPal. This is the issue of the day here. And of course, CNN is willing to play along with Warren's narrative on this just to create a circus atmosphere tonight and to basically benefit the war party candidates. Warren, Biden, Buttigieg. And the interesting thing here is not simply the fact that Sanders is being pilloried on the basis of no factual proof of anything that was or was not said in a private conversation with Elizabeth Warren. Where is the mention of Tulsi Gabbard in any of this?
Yeah, and there's a big, there's a real big difference.
Here you have a young candidate who's articulate, mm-hmm. who is the only one of these candidates who served as a veteran in the Iraq War. She's been an articulate critic of what the United States has been doing in these wars and in Syria specifically. It seems to me that all of this is designed not simply to get at Sanders, but to continue ignoring the real threat of this, which I think is Tulsi Gabbard.
Right. Okay, we are going to be going off the break. We will be back in a few minutes, and I have a few thoughts about Gabbard and Sanders. So we'll be right back.
Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
And make the world go away.
Anytime. Okay, welcome back.
Anytime you want a war. Anytime it's for the Jews. Anytime. I'm sorry. I think those are the wrong lyrics.
I think those were the original lyrics, and they got scrubbed.
Oh, that's the original
those
lyrics.
Are the original lyrics. Well, you know what
before
the original
Eddie Arnold was before Eddie Arnold was co-opted by Shabbat Lubavitch. That's right.
Oh yeah. How about because they run the world. So...
That's right.
By the way, I'm just going to say I'm often accused of being a shill for Vladimir Putin. That's actually what I wanted to talk about. I have, you know, sometimes...
Well, for a guy who's shilling for Putin, you and I, of course, he's not paying us.
I know.
Let's just get that out right now.
Jeez, I mean, I think he's got...
This guy's beyond cheap. I mean, Putin expects us to shill for free.
Man.
As a matter of fact, it's kind of a sad thing. I attended this a few days in San Antonio. I stood at a favorite street corner for panhandlers and had a big sign saying, "We'll shill for Putin for food." Nobody contributed. I mean, it was a bad situation.
Well,
that's how desperate we are, folks. Send shekels. Send Russian money. Send us a suitcase with unmarked bills. Just anything at this point. But, you know, we are definitely shilling for Putin. But I tell you, he doesn't pay us worth a damn.
I know. The ruble's not worth a dime anymore, I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's true. The American dime isn't worth a dime anymore.
Hey, yeah,
well,
dime's not worth a nickel anymore.
That's right.
So, all right. First of all, a few weeks ago, I think, on David Duke's show, he was talking about Chabad Lubavitch, which he does from time to time, because the great Rebbe, Rebbe Schneerson, has said some stuff that's pretty over the top, you know, about, I don't know, that Goyim were created just to serve Jews and whatnot. But you know something? Rebbe Schneerson didn't make that up. That's in the Talmud, and there's a lot of weird stuff that's in the Torah, which is the Old Testament. And I'm not a biblical scholar, and you are, Mark, so I'm not going to go into this. But what I will say is Chabad Lubavitch didn't make any of this stuff up. Now, they're a large Jewish organization, and I think in any large Jewish organization, if you dig around, you'll probably find some corrupt stuff, some stuff that we wouldn't approve of. But what's their main mission, their surface mission, the mission that at least on the books they're devoting their resources to? It's getting Jews to grow long beards and wear funny hats. And I have to say, I endorse that. I endorse that. I wish Chabad Lubavitch all the success in getting Jews to grow long beards and wear funny hats. Now, they do. They also encourage the big families, and you know, in our society, where we spend a lot of money on children and whatnot, and in the long run, they have big families, and they would outbreed us for sure. But in the short run, I endorse that message: grow long beards and wear funny hats, because I've always said that I would rather be ruled by Chinamen than by Jews. And I say that for a couple of reasons. But
I've always liked Qing Dao beer. That would probably be the deciding factor.
Yeah, I say that for a couple of reasons. One, but one probably first and foremost is that you can look at a Chinaman and know he's a Chinaman. But if Chabad Lubavitch gets their way, you're going to be able to look at a Jew and know he's a Jew. And I think that's all we need to know. Then you see. When you hear these messages on the media, but you see that they keep coming from Jews, if they kept coming from people with long beards and funny hats, you'd connect the dots a lot quicker than you are now. And all we have to do is connect the dots.
You're giving the American people a certain amount of credit that I'm not sure is due their way, but I'm not sure even then they'd figure it out. But anyway, we'll say that they would. Yeah.
Okay, next, regarding Vladimir Putin, there's these videos floating around saying, well, the alt-right says that Putin is a savior of the world. And I'm not sure who says Putin's the savior of the world. Now, I know a lot of Russians say that Putin was the savior of Russia. And
yes.
That's his job. And since very early in his tenure, he's been known as the savior of Russia. And when you look at the demographic situation in Russia, the life expectancy having plunged 8 years for men during the reign of his predecessor, Yeltsin, Boris Yeltsin. And yeah, I mean, you can't really argue with that. He's not our savior. We have to save ourselves. But if you look geopolitically, he is, I think he is, on balance, a positive force, and there aren't very many positive forces out there. He's concerned first and foremost with his own country, which is what you would expect. And we can, you know, we can. I guess in the future, I'll do more of a deep dive on Vladimir Putin. I say he's the most important statesman of the 20th century. Important and best doesn't mean exactly the same thing, but you know something. What's his competition?
Yeah, exactly right. And I would reaffirm what Paul Craig Roberts said in a post throughout the world that also appeared on Charles Bousman's Russia Insider, something the effect of...
We just have 10 seconds.
Now is Putin's time. He is our last hope to stop this American war of aggression in the Middle East.
All right. Well, we'll be right back.
Anytime you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
And we are back. Okay, so this is the segment. Let's see, I've done my shilling for Putin. I've white knighted for Chabad Lubavitch. I guess now, so now I've got to, I think there is a distinction that needs to be made between Bernie Sanders and Tulsi Gabbard. There are a lot of distinctions, actually. But
we better not go too far.
One distinction is I'd much rather be on a surfboard with Tulsi than with Bernie, I'll tell you that much. But,
and I'd rather be on one with Bernie than with Buttigieg. That's right.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, too. That's a good point, too.
That's right.
But, so Bernie Sanders probably gets, you know, he gets credit for being an anti-war candidate. And I think it's only partly earned and partly he's given too much credit. He was against the Iraq invasion. He was against that. In the context of the U.S. Senate, I think he has been, you know, compared to most of the senators, Rand Paul would be an exception, but compared to most of the senators, he has been more of a voice for peace than other senators. So we'll give him credit where credit's due. But, you know, it's not as if he's actually been for a lot of... hold on one second. Sorry, a bit of technical problems there. So he's been, you know, with Iran. Okay, so he was for the Iran nuclear deal. The Iran nuclear deal was still bad for Iran. It's just it wasn't as bad for Iran as being bombed. But I think one place where their foreign policies, Tulsi's and Bernie's, are really different is Bernie is actually pretty hostile with Russia. Not that he's trying to launch a war, but he went on the O'Reilly Factor when O'Reilly was still doing the Factor and said he wanted to freeze Russian assets everywhere. And even O'Reilly was taken aback. He voted for this 2015 kind of supersized Magnitsky Act. He's been all for sanctions with Russia,
which is a complete fraud, the Magnitsky Act. And we'll simply say Philip Giraldi is the best go-to source on the Magnitsky Act that I'm aware of.
Yeah, whereas Tulsi Gabbard has been using Stephen F. Cohen's words, and I don't care if Stephen F. Cohen is Jewish or not, he is the person who is, over the past 30, 35 years, been most accurate in predicting things in Russia and the Soviet Union. And for that reason, I think he has a lot of credibility. She's been using his words, saying we've got to end the new Cold War. And I don't think saying you want to end the new Cold War is being a Putin shill. But at any rate, I would still say I'd rather have somebody be a Putin shill than, an AIPAC shill or whatever. So I'll hand it over to you, Mark. I think I've talked enough.
No, that's fine. I think this is all well taken, and certainly we here at National Bugle Radio say that in terms of the Democratic Party, that in our view, at least, Gabbard is the best candidate. This is not to endorse many of her views, folks, because we don't, and I certainly don't. But as far as this issue of war and peace is concerned, her ability to bring it forth in a very articulate way to the American public, her good looks, frankly, does that sound sexist enough?
Hey, it helps.
She's a very,
it helps.
She's telegenic, and she's also articulate, and she has been served in the military, served in the Iraq during the time that all this mess first got started. And so I think that the Democratic Party, once again, is in a position to snatch defeat away from the jaws of victory by going with Pocahontas or Buttigieg or Biden. And then the Democratic Party is quite likely to go down the proverbial tube in 2020 against Donald Trump. So we would say here, I think, at National Bugle Radio, that Gabbard, clearly in our view, would be the odds-on choice to beat Trump, secondarily Bernie, but Bernie in a secondary position to Gabbard as far as we're concerned here.
Yeah, and he's got a lot more problems on the other issues, too. Although, even Bernie used to be pro-Second Amendment because he represented Vermont.
Yes.
I think he's backtracked a lot on that. He used to be anti-immigration because he was pro-labor, but he's had to backtrack on that. Tucker did a segment on that, I think, just last night.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is all good information taken under advisement. Got a few more stories here, folks, just to run through in passing. Jeffrey Epstein, folks, must have been a patriot. Why? Sputnik tells us that he made an $850,000 contribution to MIT before his death. So, Epstein may have been a pervert and a Mossad agent, but he did donate all that money to MIT, and so we salute Jeffrey for at least a second and a half. Phil Giraldi at the Strategic Culture Foundation has an essay that, seriously, folks, will be up on the big board. We encourage everyone to read it and to send it to your friends across the political spectrum. America the Repugnant is the title of that piece. Assassinating foreign leaders is an act of war. Dr. Giraldi gets into all the specifics as a former CIA station chief and as a counterterrorism expert and all of these other things. He explains just how badly this is going for the United States and why. And I'll toot my own horn just for a second here. I wrote a very controversial piece, admittedly, for my own Mark Dankos America. It went out as a news release wire syndicated column with the Washington, D.C.-based news service, and it's entitled, A Salute to General Amir Ali Hajizadeh, the man who told the truth. Think about that one for a minute, folks. This whole situation with this unfortunate accident and the shooting down of this Ukrainian jetliner, an accident that would not have happened had the Trump administration not assassinated General Soleimani, we might add. But nonetheless, in the last analysis, compare the integrity of the Iranian regime, as much as we might not want to be ruled by that regime here at home, me included, in the United States, but compare their degree of integrity with the long history of lying on the part of the United States governments, not simply in the Trump administration, but in many other instances that are recited in my op-ed piece. And we can at least say that General Hajizadeh, who will have to live with this tragedy, certainly for the remainder of his life, nonetheless, ultimately, along with the top leadership, his superiors in that country, told the truth as best they could determine it about what really happened that night. Here's one, folks, that is a very sad piece, but it's an indication of what yet lies ahead in all probability, given this outlandish assassination of General Soleimani on the 3rd of January. This one comes to us from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Corey Michael Hadley. Maybe that's a name that doesn't mean much to you. It didn't to me until I read this piece. Corey Michael Hadley was an Army infantryman. He was a sharpshooter. He died at 30 in Philadelphia by his own hand. This is a very sad story. Look this one up. The last name is Hadley. His name is Corey, C-O-R-E-Y. Corey Michael Hadley from Philadelphia, Army infantryman and sharpshooter, dies at the age of 30. This reveals the real tragedy of these wars in the Middle East, folks, and what's happening to a lot of these kids who are largely forgotten by their government, increasingly forgotten by the average American, whose life has not yet been touched by war in the same way as the peoples of the Middle East or those in the American armed forces who have been forced into these situations and who die under some of the worst and most ignominious of circumstances. In this case, as Corey Michael Hadley did, may he rest in peace. And may we keep these kids out of these wars when our own national security does not depend on these wars, and when we need to truly get back to a defensive posture, a deterrent posture in our national security stance. Stop fighting Israel's wars. Stop engaging in overt acts of imperialism. Stop trying to engage in regime change and coup d'etats and assassinations and all the rest of this stuff, because the ultimate victims of these things are not simply the indigenous peoples of these countries where these crimes take place, and they are crimes, folks. Let's be very, very clear about what it is we're talking about. But think of all these American youngsters who die under the kinds of circumstances that we just reported here with Corey Michael Hadley of Philadelphia. We don't need any more of this. We never needed any of it. And so whether we're talking about Marquis J. McCants here in San Antonio, Texas, in my op-ed piece on him that goes all the way back to 2007, or we fast forward 13 years now to what happened to Corey Michael Hadley in Philadelphia, we simply say no more. No more of this, Mr. Trump. No more of this, Mr. Pompeo, Mr. Bolton, Ms. Nikki Haley, and all the rest of you folks out there that seem to think that this is the way that we ought to be doing business. We need to stop this now. And I think Pat Buchanan, who is the true America First candidate, for those of us on the real right who supported him in 1992 and 1996, for all of the best reasons, and would vote for him today if he was running, even at Pat's age now. Pat Buchanan understands that if Sanders would stop these wars, that Sanders could beat Trump. The only area where we disagree with Pat at this juncture is that we think that the Democrats would be under even a stronger position if they were to nominate Tulsi Gabbard. A couple of other stories here that I think are very, very important. Folks, be more discerning about the folks you watch on television and the things that they're saying. Whatever network you're watching, whatever radio program you're listening to in mainstream American corporate radio, where someone claims to be an expert, find out who they really are and who they're working for. Eli Clifton at Responsible Statecraft has a marvelous must-read piece that will get up on the big board at some point in regard to an Iranian lady, Masih Alinejad. Masih Alinejad. First name M-A-S-I-H, last name A-L-I-N-E-J-A-D. Who is this Iranian lady? She was photographed with Mike Pompeo just the other day. She's someone who echoes a lot of President Trump's talking points in regard to the Soleimani assassination and many other similar issues of the day. How is it that she turns up in a photograph with Mike Pompeo in a clear opportunity photo op for them both? Well, this lady works for the Voice of America Persian Service, we are told. She makes over $300,000 a year, courtesy of the American taxpayer, putting this stuff out in Persian on VOA. But as of late, according to Eli Clifton, she's been appearing on American networks as an expert on matters Iran, an expert on matters of foreign policy related to that country that seem not only like they're in the Trump-Pence playbook, but sound increasingly like they're in the Bibi Netanyahu playbook. It's amazing what you can make, right? If you can do it effectively, as she certainly does. She makes a nice presentation. She's a very nice, attractive-looking lady. But she's making over $300,000 a year talking this line, according to Eli Clifton at Responsible Statecraft for the American Voice of America Persian Service. And now she's increasingly showing up on Fox and everywhere else that she's needed by the neocons and the Zionists and the warmongers to make the case for those things that in our view and Phil Giraldi's view and Pat Buchanan's view are absolutely unthinkable. A couple of recommendations on films before the end of the hour. This one is a must-see, folks, seriously. Go to YouTube. Look for South Front. South Front is a very, very fascinating organization. You can get to their page off of mine at Mark Dankoff's America at WordPress. That'll take you directly to the South Front organization where you can find out what they do and why they do it. Some of the most amazing videos and news articles that you will ever see on these wars and the analysis of these wars makes these guys just an invaluable resource for us all. They have a 7-minute, 43-second video out there entitled U.S. with Iran War or U.S. War with Iran Simulated. Absolutely essential that you see that film. It gets into many aspects of this whole circumstance and situation that you're not going to find on CNN or Fox. So that's South Front on YouTube, U.S. War with Iran Simulated. 7 minutes, 43 seconds. Can you spare that today? I hope you can. Take a look at that one. And then there's a YouTube trailer out there. Stephen Kinzer is in this, the author of All the Shah's Men. Mohammad Mossadegh, the late Iranian prime minister, is featured in this trailer. And this is entitled American Coup. What really did happen in 1953 in Operation Ajax, courtesy of Kermit Roosevelt, Norman Schwarzkopf Sr., the British MI5, the American CIA, and British Petroleum. What happened then? What is the circumstance behind that coup? What were the implications of it 25 years later? In the Islamic Republic of Iran revolution against Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. And then, of course, add another 40 years, folks, to where we are at this juncture, the cancellation of this JCPOI P5+1 treaty with Iran, and in the wake of this illegal extrajudicial assassination of General Soleimani. It all began in earnest in 1953 with Operation Ajax. That YouTube trailer that you can look at is entitled American Coup. So this brings us full circle then to this whole issue of tonight's Democratic Party debate. Who is really behind Warren, Buttigieg, and Biden? We've already told you. And isn't it interesting to see that CNN is again putting out this spin that Bernie Sanders is now in serious trouble for these eight words? These eight words that there's absolutely no proof he ever spoke because he allegedly said them.
Oh, but there is proof.
Elizabeth Warren.
Because Elizabeth Warren is a woman and you always have to believe women, right?
That's right. That's the implication here, folks. A woman has said this, therefore it's true. I thought a woman could win.
Because
you disagree.
Yeah, no, the lying gene is on the Y chromosome. That's just science.
Yes, that's right. So there you have it, folks. That's where we are headed into tonight's Democratic Party debate. And, of course, once again, go with Sanders, if you will. We will, as non-Democrats, or at least I'm not one. I don't know about Dr. Slattery. I'm not a registered Democrat.
Oh, I registered as a Democrat a few months ago because I wanted to be able to vote for Tulsi. And I recommend if you are in a state that you have to register, then register.
Yes, because at this particular juncture, folks, you look at all of these other issues that are out there. I'm talking about serious issues. I'm not minimizing these issues. Those of us on the right, including me, for virtually all of my life, have been fighting on many issues and continue to fight on many issues tooth and nail with the likes of all of these Democratic candidates. But nonetheless, it is Donald Trump who claimed to be the America First candidate who has now taken us into a new phase, a new and most dangerous phase of conflict in the Middle East and probably with Iran as a result of this rash, illegal, extrajudicial assassination of Soleimani that makes Trump look like Hillary Clinton with Gaddafi in Libya.
Okay.
Well, in 1815, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a car.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Said a hound couldn't catch him down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
And we are back. So Donald Trump looking like Hillary Clinton. Actually, that was kind of, I think, the subliminal message that Tucker Carlson and Tulsi Gabbard broadcast on one of their shows, on one of Tucker's shows. I think it was it Wednesday or Thursday night, which, according to some sources, got Trump to back away from further aggression against Iran. Did you hear any of that?
I did not hear it. I saw several excerpts of it. I did not see the entire conversation, but I know that I think in our last show, put some of this on the air in regards
yeah.
to what... Yes. That's right.
That was it.
Yes. And so, I did hear the, without being able to see it visually, I did hear the gist of what was said between Tucker and Tulsi, And here we are, folks, right, in a circumstance where, as I put it in an interview with Sputnik several days ago, one of their news directors contacted me, wanted to do an interview with me in regard to Trump and the Soleimani assassination and all the rest of it. I referred to the president at the very end of the interview as Franklin Delano Trump. It used to be Franklin Delano Bush, right? Now it's Franklin Delano Trump. And in this particular situation, we are really at the end game in regard to being able to go, at least I am, any further with Trump as an America First candidate. He has clearly allowed a total Zionist co-optation of his foreign policy team, his national security team, and his overt actions as president, culminating in what happened on the 3rd of January. So here we are looking at the Democratic Party. And once again, most ominously, it takes less than 24 hours after Pat Buchanan's op-ed piece basically indicating that Donald Trump in the Soleimani assassination was handing Bernie Sanders a quote-unquote in-kind contribution. And yet here we are the very next day in all the rage in CNN is not what Buchanan had to say about Trump and how that should benefit Sanders. The issue is whether or not Sanders uttered these eight words. "I thought a woman could win," Elizabeth Warren said. He disagreed. Did Sanders say that or didn't he? And I think all of the evidence, circumstantially, especially given Warren's long history of lying, would suggest that if Sanders said anything at all in this private conversation, that Sanders disagreed with the notion that a woman by the name of Elizabeth Warren could win the election.
Yeah, and you know, it's to say a woman couldn't win. I think a woman could win because you look at all these other countries and you've had women winning elections. You know, France. Well, France has had a prime minister, but Britain, Germany, India, Pakistan, all sorts of countries. Of course, a woman could win here if it's the right woman.
If it's the right woman, I want everyone to close their eyes for a minute, folks, and think of the old door number one, door number two, and door number three. Behind one of those doors is Hillary Clinton.
Oh, God.
Behind one of those doors is Elizabeth Warren. Behind another door is Tulsi Gabbard. Who would you choose as your lady candidate for president?
As the lady in the tiger,
right?
Could
actually be elected, and we all know who that is, and it's Gabbard.
Yeah, that's right.
And folks, as we close, take a look once again at James P. Duffy's book, Lindbergh versus Roosevelt, The Rivalry That Divided America. Go to the chapter of that book entitled Lindbergh is a Nazi, quote unquote. Look at the demonization of Lindbergh at the hands of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We have a quiz question for those of you who either have read the book or who will read it. Who was Roosevelt's hand-picked agent working in tandem with the FBI to demonize Lindbergh and to demonize General Robert Wood and other leading figures in the America First movement? That's a key question. What is that person's name, and how does that model impact where we are in 2020 when people who don't follow the war party line are going to be targeted and demonized?
Wow. All right. That is good advice. So this is the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining me. It's always great when you come on. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio with Jeremy and I maybe taking apart that Democratic debate.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.